Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, January 30th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Nikki Harkins. Nikki and her husband Jason have been members for 31 years, and their two girls and their families are a part of Mountain Brook Baptist as well. The Harkins lead out in a lot of different ways here at our church, and I hope she'll share more about that at the end of the podcast. But first, Nikki will read God's Word for us. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Our first passage is Isaiah 53, and I'm reading from the New International Version. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. And he has suffered. He will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Our second reading is Psalm 20. For the director of music, a psalm of David. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. May we shout for joy over your victory and lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Now this I know, the Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Lord, give victory to the King. Answer us when we call.
Thank you so much, Nikki, for joining the podcast, for reading so beautifully. You're a great friend to me. I'm thankful for our group that we share together, our Launching Verses group. I've been asking Nikki to do this for a few weeks, maybe months, and she has so willingly obliged to come on the podcast. I want the people who are listening to get to know you just a little bit more. Where did you grow up?
I was actually born and raised in Auburn, Alabama.
Go Auburn.
War Eagle.
Yeah, there you go. See, I don't even know how to say it. I assume that because you grew up there, that's how you became a fan. Is that true?
Definitely. We always went to all of the sports. Any Auburn sport, we were a fan of.
And Auburn is such a beautiful place.
It was such a perfect place to grow up. Anyone that wants to raise kids, it's just a great place to be. And now it's grown so much, it's so different, but it just means that it has so many more offerings and yet still has that small town feel.
Is that where you met Jason?
It is. We met in the fourth grade when our elementary schools came together.
Stop it. Are you serious? Fourth grade?
Yes, we did. That's not when we started dating. We waited for a few years. We started dating in 10th grade when we were 15 and have been together ever since.
And he played baseball at Auburn, correct?
Yes, he did.
Okay. And tell me a little bit about your family.
Well, Jason and I have been married for 33 years, or we will have been this February. And we have two daughters. Taylor is married to John Davis, and they have a 2.5-year-old boy named Will, our first grandchild, and they are expecting another little boy named Webb. Yes, you should like that name a little.
I love that name.
And he's due in just a couple of weeks, so we're excited about that. And our second daughter, Coley, is married to Scott Britton, and they have a little 5.5-month-old girl named Lucille.
And I know you are loving being a grandmama.
Oh, that is what I'm doing with my retirement, is just, that's what I spend my days doing right now.
Tell me a little bit about Will. What is he into?
Will loves any truck. He loves construction sites, and he loves playing with his Kiki.
Oh, is that what he calls you? That is so sweet. How did y'all come up with that?
Well, I am an aunt first, or I was an aunt first, and they could not say Aunt Nikki, so they called me Aunt Key. And so this just derived from Key. Kiki. I'm now Kiki.
And tell me a little bit about Lucille.
Lucille is just a joy. She loves to smile at everyone. And loves when we sing songs to her, like Itsy Bitsy Spider and You Are My Sunshine.
You mentioned that you just retired. Tell me about your career and then maybe some of the fun things you're learning to experience in retirement.
Well, I was the registrar at the high school for a few years. I worked with the high school for about 13 years. And after retirement, I have been busy with, I love to walk. And in fact, my friend Elizabeth Lohman goes to this church and we walk a lot together. And I love golfing, but had to take off for a while because of my shoulder. But Jason and I are picking it back up together and going to start doing it more this spring.
That's fun when the
weather warms up.
A couples event that you can do together.
Yes.
Okay. A few fun get to know yous. Do you enjoy cooking or would you prefer takeout?
Probably takeout. I don't mind cooking, but it can be a little having to please everyone and to think up something to cook. It's just easier.
So if they tell you what they want to eat, you'll make it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Introvert or extrovert?
That's a loaded question. I would say neither. I'd have to get pushed to go out and do anything. I would much rather stay at home. But once I'm out, I'm usually having fun. And it's hard to get me to want to leave. In fact, Jason says I have a leaving problem.
Let's move into questions about your faith. How did you come to faith, and what has that journey been like with the Lord?
That is a very long story, but my shortened testimony basically is that, praise God, He placed people in my life, my entire life, that laid seeds that eventually came to the surface when I was at a low point. And thankfully, I knew of a good Christian friend that showed me what Jesus Christ had done for us, and I immediately accepted Him as my Savior. I would like to say that my Christian walk was stellar after that, but it was a long road of mistakes and forgiveness, and finally what I think is a more steady growth.
What would you say is one time that you've sensed the Lord's nearness in the midst of difficulty?
A few years ago, I had several people mention to me that they were looking for a teacher for the young married class. And at the time, I thought there was no way Jason and I would be that committed and could really commit ourselves to something like that. So I kept just brushing it off and moving forward. Soon after that, my father got sick and eventually passed within just a few months. And while I was caring for him in Auburn, I was doing a Bible study on my own, and I felt God continuing to nudge me to teach this class. And I could not really believe that he was asking anything else of me at that time. And I kept pushing it away and pushing it away. And eventually, he died. I came back home, and I just couldn't shake it and finally said yes. And I just feel like that was the God knew I was going to have that hole in my heart. And this class has brought so much joy that has just filled it. Jason and I are continually amazed at their faithfulness to come to church, their faithfulness to learn, and they are just a fun group. They like to get together. We have socials almost once a month, probably 8 times a year, and they love getting together, but they also are just so true. We usually follow the Explore the Bible Lifeway curriculum, so that is biblically based, but then we usually try to put in some life application and something from our experiences. And I think that it's a good mixture of a way to teach, and they are always eager to talk. I've never seen a group in Sunday school that was this willing to discuss God's word and to talk about how he's working in their lives.
I love coming in and watching you and Jason teach and how you kind of team teach, and one of you takes the lead, but the other also gives wisdom. What is your process when you're going to teach?
We really don't have that. What we do is just look at our calendars and say, hey, I've got a busy week. Can you take this one? And then we each spend the week looking at scripture and coming up with what we think that is the most important thing to bring out. And then we get together, and whoever's leading puts it all together. And then we discuss it either sometime the weekend before, and that's when the leader comes up with the direction they want to take it.
Another thing I want to talk about is your passion for helping couples in their marriages. How did you get this passion? And I know there's a class going on now for 9 or 10 couples in our church, and you and Jason are leading out and would like to know a little bit more about that class and maybe some things that we could learn even if we're not there every week.
We took a class about 15 years ago called Dynamic Marriage, and we just saw quite a difference in the way we approached marriage after that. We had seen too many of our friends go through troubled marriages, marriages that failed, and we just became passionate about it, especially after we took that course. So we got trained to teach the class, and we taught it a couple of times many years ago and somehow let it slide. And the more we saw these young couples that we are working with in Sunday school, the more we got passionate about marriages again and what it meant to us. And we just wanted to share it again. And we just don't like to see marriages fail. And we also want to see them. This is a class that helps good marriages become great. And so it's not even for failing marriages. And we want great marriages. What this class is about is making deposits into your loved one's love bank. And the more you meet their needs, the more they want to meet your needs. And marriage is not a 50-50 proposition. It's 100% from each side. And when one's giving 100%, it's hard not to for the other one to give 100% as well. And I think that's the biggest part of marriages, is the unselfish attitude. Another nugget from what we've learned is, first of all, that your marriage has to be Christ-centered, and the chances of it being successful are very slim without Christ at your center. And then behind God, the most important relationship is supposed to be the two of you. And if you have that, all the other relationships flow out of that.
Nikki, you and I are in a group together. We call it the Launching Verses, and mm-hmm. Jan Rice leads out in our group. Tell us about that group and also what one of your favorite launching verses is.
This group has been incredible. It's all about learning verses and learning how to pray them, and which obviously gives us more power as we pray. And it has been, first of all, amazing to watch the Holy Spirit in me, someone that cannot remember anything, to actually be able to memorize verses. And that is only through the work of the Holy Spirit. Jan had gone through this course and is basically teaching us what she learned. And hopefully others will start one too, like you're doing. I think you've already started one.
We have a launch in verses 2.0.
All right. That's great.
And basically it's really simple. Like, we've picked five sets of verses that we start the day with. Now, Jan probably has 40 verses. I don't know. We'll get there, hopefully.
Right.
But we just launch our day with them, and we set a rhythm of praying in that way in the morning.
Yeah, I have made it a habit to get up before sunrise so that I can watch the sunrise and pray Psalm 143 as I watch it. And it's just an incredible feeling to be praying His word over while I watch His creation.
Would you recite Psalm 143, 8 through 10 for us?
Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life. Rescue me from my enemies, Lord, for I hide myself in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground.
As we wrap up, I wonder if there was anything from the passages that we read that you would want to comment on.
Well, Isaiah 53 is, of course, packed with messianic prophecy. And it just always blows my mind, even though we don't need the proof, but to see that over 700 years before Christ was on this earth, that there were specific prophecies that he would fulfill. And it just shows us that God has an ultimate plan to redeem us. He had it all along. And that kind of love is just overwhelming to me at times.
Thank you so much, Nikki, for joining the podcast and for reading so beautifully for us. Would you end our time together with prayer?
Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for your perfect word. Thank you that we can get to know you, your character, and your love for us through it. Help us always to be open to respond to it as your Spirit guides us, to seek your will, and to be your hands and feet here on earth. We ask this all in your holy name. Amen.